Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome into the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News. Travis Ryer of the Ryer on YouTube channel with you, of course. Be sure to give Ryer on YouTube a like and a subscribe. Mash those buttons for Travis. It's fantastic content all over the place on Ryer on YouTube. But we're focused here on Alabama fall camp. Travis, the Crimson Tide has 1 of 2 fall scrimmages in the books, the final one upcoming on Saturday. But plenty to get into as the Crimson Tide steams toward an August 30th opener in Tallahassee.
Yeah, and according to you guys at the Tuscaloosa News, and also, I guess, CBSSports.com, some information out there this evening of pretty significant importance. I saw Colin Gay's report, I guess, for you guys about Ty Simpson officially in the saddle as the starting quarterback for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, tip of the cap to Colin for getting that first. Apparently, Ty Simpson learned today, as did the team, that he will be the starter to open the season. I would imagine that the next time Kalen DeBoer, maybe not the next time, maybe he waits until Monday of game week. Who knows? That's what Nick Saban used to do. Eventually, DeBoer is going to let us know. But this has been in the cards for a while, too, though, Travis, right? Not a shocker to anybody. A fourth-year guy who's been around the program and was dubbed the presumed starter at the end of spring practice gets the nod after a scrimmage, by the way, in which he performed pretty well, from my understanding, this past Saturday.
Yeah, it's, and we'd heard multiple times the old, if we played today,
right,
Ty would be the guy. That's a change from Nick Saban, right? Kind of wish Nick was still in there and this type of report came out this early in camp, you know, and Nick stepped to that mic at that next media availability.
It might be I don't know where you guys get this.
I don't get it. I don't get it. He'd look over at Max and I don't get it. It'd be so great. That's the only thing I miss about all this, but a totally different approach. But yeah, I mean, given the candidates involved and what we had heard previously, you kind of went into fall camp thinking almost like a fight where you get later in the rounds and a guy so far ahead on points, all he's got to do is stay on his feet, right? Just don't get injured. Don't have some type of crash out in fall camp. And as you said, with Ty's experience and his maturity, you didn't anticipate the latter being an issue. You can't really control the former as much. But, and even when we heard from, and we'll talk about the scrimmage reaction from Saturday in more depth coming up here, but when I continue to hear Kalen DeBoer talk about command of the team and command of the offense, not just in terms of scheme and what they're asked to do, but when I hear about the huddle and those type of things, I mean, that always points you towards the veteran.
It does. And, you know, one of the things that DeBoer noted in his comments after the first scrimmage was, hey, no interceptions during the scrimmage. Also said there's only been about three picks all camp.
Yeah.
Adding together all the 7-on-7 and all the 11-on-11 that gets done in practices. And so, by all accounts, all three quarterbacks have done a good job of taking care of the football. But as you and I have talked about on this podcast and in recent weeks, that's first and foremost. You would expect a guy like Ty Simpson, as the veteran, as the fourth-year guy, to protect the ball better than the others. Sounds like they've all done a pretty good job of it. But my point being, Travis, a turnover bug for Ty Simpson, probably one of the only things that could have torpedoed his ascent to starting status.
Don't get to see a lot of teamwork, if any of teamwork, this time of year, scrimmage work for that matter. And so what you hope, in sort of response to that good news that the quarterbacks have taken care of the ball, is that they haven't been check down Charlies every time out. You know what I mean? Afraid to make mistakes. Don't want to lose the job, but you still got to go out and win it. So I still think that'll be interesting to follow as we get into the season opener and the game against Florida State, because we've talked about how I've definitely harped on the need for more of the quick game than we saw the last 2 years with Jalen Milroe. But what you didn't worry about with Jalen was pushing the ball down the field to your playmakers. So maybe a little bit of the reverse. I think Ty can do it. It's just going to be interesting to see if they're maybe as impactful in the intermediate to deeper areas of the field with Ty Simpson. And look, this guy's a former five-star prospect. So in terms of physical attributes and those type of things, he wouldn't have garnered that type of status if he had any limitations. I don't think that's going to be a part of it at all. And just in terms of execution and being able to take advantage of these guys like Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard and Isaiah Horton and Rico Scott, when you try to push it more than 8 to 10 yards up the field.
No doubt. And you know, Jalen Milroe would have been well served to be a little bit more of a check down Charlie.
He needed more check down Charlie. Yep.
So sometimes, obviously, that's the right thing to do. I think you bring up a good point, though, and a distinction ought to be made. When you say quick game, you're talking about short throws that are first
smoke
read.
Smoke screens, RPO. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. First read type of stuff, whereas check down says second read, third read.
Yep, get to your check down, right, as a part of your progression, a big-time distinction there. But, yeah, so we kind of had the expected affirmed for us or confirmed for us on Monday evening. But what about some other reactions from the scrimmage on Saturday? I'll tell you another one to me that was not surprising. I think some people thought it was maybe more of a competition going into the season anyway. I think that's interesting about quarterback too. I think Ty's the guy. I could see Ty being the guy for the duration of the season. That's my expectation. But as Keelan Russell continues to develop, Austin Mack is a project kind of in that same boat. And, you know, look, while we're on the quarterback situation, there's some folks that they love Keelan Russell. And I get it. There's some recency bias involved there because he's the latest new shiny toy, the latest five-star at that position. But Chase, do you think more than ever there's more development that has to take place in college, or is at least as much, even with all the 7-on-7, all the exposure these quarterbacks have from a very young age to more access to great coaching and work and reps and those type of things, How many high school quarterbacks, though, do you see command a huddle these days in high school? How many teams huddle up, really, in high school football these days, or college football, for that matter? How many teams, how many quarterbacks work under center in high school these days? I mean, there's a lot you have to sort of, some blanks you have to fill in as a young quarterback, too.
Yeah, huddles few and far between. Snaps from under center, most definitely few and far between. Commanding the offense used to mean a lot of both of those things. Now it has more to do, I guess, Travis, with how much confidence do the other 10 have in the guy who's taking the snap? And it's huge, no question.
Winning
about
the
it.
Team, as Nick Saban used to say, win the team.
Exactly. You need those 10 guys to be a believer in whoever's back there as your starter. And, you know, it's Ty Simpson's show. And look, there's history for first year starters who have been around a long time, seniors, et cetera, performing extremely well in this particular spot that Simpson is in. Go back to 2020, Mac Jones. Jake Coker won a national championship in his swan song. I've got a column along these lines that just dropped right before we came on air, as a matter of fact. Go back to Stedman Sheely, Travis, 1979.
Number 10, yeah.
One year shot for Stedman as the starter, and he brought it home. But there have been some rough patches along those lines as well. John David Phillips, you know, it doesn't always go rosy for that guy.
Yeah, last first-year starter, too, who will make his first start in a true road setting like Ty Simpson's going to do.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see who that guy was. I think, you know, you had some guys that obviously did it in neutral site type of situations in the Saban era, but true road situation like Ty Simpson's going to walk into. And, you know, another veteran that I think we anticipated being the guy at his position going into the season, Jam Miller. And we heard that from Kalen after the scrimmage on Saturday too.
Yeah, big performance apparently from Jam Miller, which you certainly like to see. Alabama needs more punch in the running game this season, no question about it. And, you know, they don't have a phenomenal running quarterback like Miller. Simpson can play. Simpson can move. Simpson can run. I don't mean to suggest he can't, but he's no Milrow when it comes to carrying the football. And so you're going to see, I think, more of a reliance on the backs, on the running game. Miller, obviously, in the center of that. Who's going to be the number two? Who's going to be getting most of the carries after Miller? It's an interesting question, right along with who's going to be the number two quarterback.
It is that competition beyond Simpson. And, you know, you mentioned Mac Jones in 2020. Mac had the benefit late in 2019. It wasn't to the benefit maybe of the Alabama football team, but after Tua went out at Mississippi State, an unintended benefit, deferred benefit, was Mac getting those opportunities at Auburn, even in a loss, the bowl game, you know, those type of, that's something that even though Ty has been around in a similar type of fashion, he's not necessarily going into this with that same type of work under his belt. So he's a little bit more of a mystery. Now, we did see him a couple of seasons ago against South Florida. I get that. Off the bench, did an admirable job. Wasn't exactly dynamic. It was a rough weather day in Tampa. It was a rough offensive day for Alabama down in Tampa, but there's still going to be some intrigue and some mystery. I'm probably more in the boat with Ty Simpson than some folks are, but kind of like Alabama's kicker and punter too, I guess. We're not really going to know for sure until we see it in week one.
Up front on the offensive line at the scrimmage, Travis, a little bit of news there. Jaden Roberts sat this scrimmage out. That left Cam Dewberry and Geno Vandermark as your starting guards for the scrimmage along that offensive line. And probably not – obviously, Roberts is a key peg up front. You want him as healthy as possible. He's a guy who battled through a lot of aches and pains last season, as a matter of fact. assuming Roberts, though, is going to be fine, and it certainly sounds like this is nothing major, not necessarily the worst thing in the world to get somebody like a Dewberry some more reps up front with the ones.
And also, I think sometimes when teams like Alabama go to the portal for a guy like Dewberry this last time around, or Geno Vandermark a year ago, some of the fans may look at that and go, well, what if we've got some really promising – look, there's areas where you're trying to stay old as long as you possibly can. And as we right. both know, Chase, offensive line is definitely one of those. So you're an Alabama fan now. You're thinking, oh, well, obviously you want to have Jaden ready to go for Florida State, if at all possible. But credit to Courtney Morgan and this staff for – you know, kind of not assuming anything. You can't assume anything when it comes to offensive line or just about any position. But now you're able to plug and play with Vandermark and Dewberry, veteran guys, multi-year power four guys from Michigan State and Texas A&M, respectively.
Is it a leap at all, or is it fair to suggest that the lineup for this first scrimmage might mean Allen is more a backup tackle than more a backup swing guy?
Yeah, I would take it that way. I mean, look, you've got a luxury right now on the interior. I don't think it's necessarily a knock on Olas as it is, as we just talked about, this staff and this personnel department. You know, it didn't assume anything when it came to, you know, those important spots. And you know, I think Vandermark gives you value because he can swing between guard and center. But hell, if you have another injury, let's say to Dewberry, you know, I mean, Alainen has a lot.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Out of value because you can flip him in there if you need to. I think right now it's a good situation. What you don't want is another injury, because then you start bringing depth into tackle. You start robbing Peter to pay Paul as you start to have multiple injuries to guys that maybe you not just cross train. Everybody cross trains, but there's guys you cross train as a part of the plan week sure. to week. And I think the guys we talked about are those kind of guys.
Yeah. Allen, by the way, has gotten a few practice reps at center too. So they've given him a crack up and down. And obviously Vandermark is a guy who's gotten some action at the center position as well. So it's a big year for this Alabama offensive line. I think Will Conformi on the right side at that tackle spot is probably the most crucial peg, and maybe in terms of what fans don't quite know what they're going to get. Yeah. But big year for that offensive line. Looking to protect the quarterback a little better. And, hey, Simpson's a different kind of guy to protect, right? I mean, obviously mm-hmm. with Milroe, it's great that he had such phenomenal escapability in terms of how the offensive line pass protects, but that's a little bit of a two-sided coin too, Travis, because in pass protection, that OL also likes to know where the quarterback is. And when you've got a guy like Milroe who can scamper at any moment and pretty much just do anything, sometimes it makes it a little trickier to not know where the quarterback's sitting back there.
Yeah, it can be love-hate for the offensive line with a guy like that. When you whiff, you love a guy like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can get the hell out of the way, avoid a pass rush. Griff Redmill, the former Alabama offensive lineman in the late 90s there, he told me the same thing about Sean Alexander as a running back. He said, sometimes we get it blocked up perfect, and Sean would kind of go away from the scheme.
Right.
Yeah, and it would be frustrating. There'd be more times though where maybe we didn't exactly have it blocked up right, and Sean would make us all look like all Americans. So yeah, that brought back a pretty good story from Griff. But sure. And that's what you hope to see from Ty, is that, and one of the reasons why you feel more comfortable probably going with a guy like that is that if you protect him, he's going to stay in there and he's not going to leave early. He's not going to ditch. You know, he's not going to panic or maybe feel heat, feel ghost, see ghost, and he's going to get the ball to your playmakers.
Yep, no doubt about it. The wide receiver position, obviously, we haven't touched on that yet, Travis, really quickly. Looks like strong camps thus far for both Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard. How things shake out with the 3-4-5 is going to be interesting to see that develop. And it's that's something that changes. It tends to change, I think, throughout the season, and a lot of programs changed a little bit last year for Alabama, as a matter of fact. But, you know, is Isaiah Horton going to be that primary number three? Is it going to be somebody else?
I was going to ask you, have you heard much about Isaiah Horton lately or in the scrimmage or?
Yeah, I did not hear what Horton did or did not do.
I mean, I haven't heard bad things, but
Past Saturday, it definitely sounds like they like Horton on the outside. That's what I'm gathering, which is exactly what he did at Miami. He didn't spend a minute in the slot at Miami. DeBoer did make a very brief mention a couple weeks ago that he thought Horton had what it took to play inside in the slot, but it was almost a perfunctory comment.
You got enough slot guys, don't you? I mean,
he's
really
an outside guy. I think the more Ryan Williams plays in the slot, the more we'll see Isaiah Horton.
Bernard can play in there. Ryan Williams. I'm thinking Rico Scott's going to be able to play in there. Cole Adams, who had some positive buzz
coming out
Saturday. Give that guy. That dude is tougher than a $2 steak, good bread. Yeah. I mean, with the injuries he's had going back to his senior season out in Oklahoma of high school football, he just keeps coming back, and it's not like he necessarily needs to ease into it. But Tim Green here in the chat, and by the way, we appreciate each and every one of you tuning in live here on a Monday night on Ryer on YouTube. Tim Green says he wants his wide receivers to be five-star blockers again. Sounds like DeMarcus Shepherd and Ryan Grubb put a pretty good emphasis on that, Chase.
It's big for Shepherd for sure. I think it's big for both of them. Shepherd talked about it a whole lot last season, and that can't be overstated, really, Travis. I mean, obviously, up front is where the blocks have to happen to get a play off, but it's often the wide receiver block that means the difference between a gain of 8 and a gain of 60. You know, it's the one that can spring it on the perimeter. You can have it well blocked up front, and if you break down wide receiver wise with the blocking, well, maybe you get 6 or 8 yards, maybe you don't, but you rarely see running plays break for huge yards unless the wide receivers are doing their job.
Yeah, you know, I got to think that the old video archive there at the Mal Moore Athletic Facility, you can find some footage of Devontae Smith and some other cats blocking, you know, just won a Heisman Trophy and Devontae Smith would block you. I think they'll be okay with that. And it sounds like something Rico Scott can definitely help with. And, you know, Rico Scott, the more I think about it, I'm thinking kind of like John Mechie with more speed, you know, to make a comparison there, because Mechie would block you and Mechie would also separate you from the football, like we saw in the 2020 SEC championship game.
He would. Good set of hands. Heck of a route runner, too. Yep. Really, a really strong all-around player for Alabama. And a guy who,
you know, he wasn't slow. Mechie was not slow, by the way.
He was the unfortunate. He had some unfortunate timing, right? Because he was the guy. Sit behind that quartet of Smith and Ruggs and Waddle, and then
he was with Jamison too, right?
Yeah,
they both got injured in that 2001 stretch run that, you know, was obviously very defining to that team's title chances. But I guess the other way to look at that too is when you got that other guy on the other side, you see a lot of man coverage.
Yes, yeah, no question about it. How about the defensive side of the football, Travis? Let's touch on that really quickly before we get out of here. It's A stout defense. We've talked about it. I think this defense is going to be very good. I don't yet know if they'll have the effectiveness at pass rusher that they need to be great. But
that's what I wonder about. Yeah,
I think they're looking good. Speaking of pass rushers, by the way, James Smith, the promising defensive tackle from Montgomery, also held out in that scrimmage on Saturday. Does not sound serious with him either, though.
Yeah, and they've got guys, man. So even if James Smith is out, Jeremiah Beeman, time to step up. Guys like that, Edric Hill, you know. Time for some other guys. You brought in Kelby Collins from Florida as a transfer. I know some of these positions are different.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, they've got guys. I think I'm kind of with the defense. Well, I'm in with Ty Simpson probably more than you are. You might be in more with the defense than I am. And for me with the defense, and kind of the offensive line too, for me it's put it on tape. I'm ready to see it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've heard about it. You know, I guess you could look at it with DeBoer talking about quarterbacks taking care of the ball. Well, where are the takeaways? But I don't think that'll be as much of a problem if they can really get a pass rush ramped up. You know, I don't care who you are on the back end. If you're not consistent in your ability to rush the passer, especially if you should be as good against the run as this defense should be, doesn't matter who you have back there in your secondary, you're gonna probably struggle to get off the field, especially on third down.
Yeah, you're right. I think I am sold a little bit more here in August on the defense than I am on Simpson, primarily just because I've got my eyes on those players a lot more on the defensive side of the ball than we have Simpson. But that doesn't mean Alabama's defense.
Oh, they look good. They look great. You know,
I mean, look, they
first off the bus guys, no doubt about it. Good bread.
They're talented. They got some playmakers at all three levels.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they didn't struggle some last year too, right? Yeah. I mean, they definitely had their struggles at times defending the perimeter last season, particularly in games they got beat in. Oklahoma comes to mind, especially in that regard. And, you know, of course, the pass rush last year was a little bit hit and miss too, as we've discussed. So it wasn't a great defense last year. But they're returning enough quality football players that I feel pretty comfortable they're going to be solid.
Oh, and here's I got another comment for you. Tim Green checking in here. How about strength and conditioning coaches saying that Justin Jefferson routinely hits 22 miles per hour as a linebacker? That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, if we're going to have a 4x100 team for those inside linebackers, sign me up. You know, I want to see some TFLs. I want to see some people getting stoned. And I'm with you on Justin Jefferson. I don't think the issue with him has ever been Sikkim. He in front of him and downhill, as you like to say,
He'll
take care of business. You know, I'm more worried about Deontay Lawson getting back to form, and then you can have that complimentary duo, right? With Jefferson and Deontay, or, you know, because I think Nakai Hill-Green is going to be more of a thumper when it's all said and done, right?
Hill Green is a gap player. He's not the perimeter guy who you're going to necessarily count on to be tracking down scat backs at the sideline. He plays on his toes. He's going to be rock. He should be solid for Alabama in those A and B gaps. But Lawson, being the captain, being the playmaker, being the green dot guy, and, of course, Hill Green's got green dot experience himself from Colorado. But you're right. Lawson is the heart and soul guy in that defense, and his recovery from the knee injury is huge. Sounds like he's going to be good to go for Florida State. I think he called himself 90% at SEC Media Days.
Yeah.
But it's not just how does he look against Florida State. It's how's he look in November too, right?
Yeah, and we got a question in the chat here from Hattie May, who's asking about inside linebacker and that fourth inside linebacker. You know, QB Reese, you've got know, those young guys that are in there. I still like Caden Jones in terms of physical attributes,
right?
As a potential depth provider there at inside linebacker. I think in association with Hattie May's comments about special teams, I would be surprised if those guys aren't involved in that. Maybe a young guy like Luke Metz coming in from high school, Duke Johnson, they brought in, they feel good about. Those are the kind of guys, I guess, Chase. What would you think of that fourth guy?
I agree that when it comes to that fourth spot, you're probably are looking at somebody younger making a move, a Metz, a Duke Johnson. You know, they had the kid transfer to South Carolina last year with the difficult name to pronounce, who might have been in a position to fill a role like that for Alabama. But, you know,
got Abdul Sanders, that's a young guy to go along with Johnson and Metz.
Sure. Any of those guys. And look, all it takes is, you know, we saw Kane Womack play three inside linebackers last year quite a bit. I mean, we saw plenty of Jefferson, right? Obviously, Lawson and Campbell were your starters, but we saw plenty of Jefferson last year. Sometimes we saw all three of those guys on the field at the same time, maybe with Campbell lined up on an edge. And so if we assume that Womack is going to play three guys a lot, then that means all it takes is one guy to go down, and whoever that fourth linebacker is will be on the field.
I think Justin Jefferson and Nakai Hill-Green could be a complimentary duo if you open the season with Deontay maybe still on a pitch count, even in that opener, because Hill-Green is more of a true Mike who can handle Green Dot, and you can play Justin off the ball and kind of let him play to his strength, sideline to sideline, see it, hit it, you know, be aggressive. So I could envision that scenario for, I think those three guys, there's going to be reps probably throughout the season for all three.
How about the secondary, Travis? A lot of talk about the depth back there. It sounds like Kane Womack is really quite excited about not only what he sees from the ones, but the twos as well. And yeah, I'm not surprised, really. I mean, they obviously lost Malachi Moore, but pretty much bringing everybody back. You throw in a guy like Cam Calhoun, who maybe could help him depth-wise, maybe help him out at Husky a little bit. You consider the fact that Womack did a lot of rotating, played a lot of backups last season in meaningful action. You add it all up, and Alabama appears to be in really good shape back there overall.
I think so. I think covering people, they'll be fine this year. I think something you touched on earlier, they need to close up the green on perimeter runs, edge setting, quick game. Too many times last season, it just seemed like guys had three or four steps of green before you saw somebody really enter the picture. And that's just something we had not grown accustomed to seeing for about the previous 15 to 16 years. So that's where I'm interested in. It's kind of like Dewberry and Vandermark on the offensive line. You see them go to the portal and take Cam Calhoun. You're thinking, oh, they're good. They're fine. But, you know, you lose a guy or two and you're cross training some guys at multiple positions can become very valuable. And there's nothing wrong with upping the stakes on the practice field on a day-to-day basis from a competition standpoint. I do like how this staff has gone about that. They haven't assumed staying healthy. They haven't assumed having enough in terms of competition. They continue to sort of populate their roster in a way that, you know, day in and day out, they've got some answers.
Hey, you made a really interesting comment last fall here on the podcast when it comes to perimeter defense, Travis, and I can't off the top of my head remember which game we were breaking down at the time, but you noted that you had seen a few instances where Alabama would run some kind of twist or stunt up front on the line that would put a more athletic guy like a Wolf inside trying to hit an A-gap, and then you take a bigger guy, 300 pounds, who twists outside, and now all of a sudden that guy is responsible for setting the edge. You can't do that with a guy that weighs 290, right?
and or quarterbacks, you know, extending plays, avoiding pressure, and just easily getting to the flat, you know, where they can make plays throwing it and or running it. I still don't get that, but look, you know, maybe year two it'll make more sense. That's, yeah, I'm sure it will. But that didn't resonate with me last year. Lining up the wolf, you know, basically over the A gap, or, you know, at more of an inside linebacker position. And then it just felt like you were always light on the edges last year. They've got, one way or another, whether it's something they settle into and become more effective doing, or whatever the case, they've got to be better on the edges this season.
Some kind of an alert for the
I don't know,
you know, whatever the case, but
yeah,
for a safety,
pretty much green, man.
Yeah,
you know.
So something to watch, no doubt about it. All right, that I think, Travis, will do it for this edition of Talking Tide. Anything else to hit on here before we close it out?
I mean, kicker and punter, you know, they still got to figure that out.
Yeah,
and we said ideally all Connor Talty will be asked to do is kick extra points, but that's not realistic, as we know, not in this league. And so that being said, you could be telling me Connor Talty isn't having any struggles right now, and I'd still want to see it in Tallahassee on August the 30th. Yeah, ideally he would be perfect going into the season, but either way, with kickers, you just really don't know until it's real.
No, you don't. It's a pressure position, a lot like quarterback that way.
Yeah.
Spotlight's on you. And, you know, even more so with kickers, you got one shot out there to make a difference. A lot of times you only go in the game for one snap that's with the game on the line. So, got to have somebody that can handle that. Did you see, by the way, I didn't even catch this until the other day. It's been a couple weeks now. Did you see that Georgia had the first team preseason all-SEC specialist at every single position? Kicker, punter, long snapper.
They've always been that way, good bread. I mean, yeah. You go back to Kevin Butler and those guys, and I'm showing how,
yeah,
you know,
I remember
old
Kevin.
I am. Yeah. Kevin Butler from 60 to Ty Clemson, I think, one year in Sanford Stadium. Now, different era back then in terms of rules and things, but Georgia and Auburn, when you talk about SEC specialists, specifically Alabama fans freak out about their specialists, but Alabama's had better specialists than a lot of Alabama fans would lead you to believe. Mm. They've had some rough ones too. Don't get me wrong.
They have a tendency to remember the rough ones.
Well, you know, they remember Lee Tiffin missing the kicks at Arkansas in 2000. And was that six? He missed those kicks. I think,
that's right. Yeah. Because they beat him in 07.
But they don't remember Lee Tiffin being first team AP All-American 3 years later. Right. The memory works that way sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of the Talking Tide podcast. Once again, be sure to smash those like and subscribe buttons on Ryer on YouTube. For Travis Ryer, I am Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News. We will be back soon enough right here on Talking Tide.
6'2" stack monster and pipe. If you know, you know.